Lord God, of might inconceivable, of glory incomprehensible, of mercy immeasurable, of goodness ineffable, O Master, look down upon us in your tender love and show forth toward us and those who listen to your word with us your rich mercies, your tender compassion, and the fullness of your expansive wisdom by your word. In the name above every name, Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, eternal, forever. Amen. Remember the Campbell family as they are missing today, and they've had some illness in their family as well. So we've got a long list of folks. Make sure you write those names down. But as we have done the past few weeks, we're going to dive straight into the text as we have a long way to go and a short time to get there. However, by way of review, I will give the following summary of the chapters we've done before in order to bring up to date those who haven't been here for the duration of the past few chapters. Chapter 4 of Daniel, we saw that he warned King Nebuchadnezzar that he had received favor of God, Yahweh, the God Most High, and would have the greatest kingdom in the history of the world. Daniel then told King Nebuchadnezzar that Yahweh would humble him for an unspecified period of time because of the arrogance that he would show in forgetting that all kingdoms are under his control, and any government is only by the hand of God. So sometime later, as the king was up on his roof admiring the layout of the kingdom and the greatness of its beauty and the admiration that he had around the world, while congratulating himself on these accomplishments, Yahweh spoke directly to him and made him to become like a wild animal until he understood his place in the universe. After his humbling, Nebuchadnezzar praised the Lord Most High with such fervor that I believe that he was converted because of the way that he testified to the glory of the God of Israel when he said, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can stay his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?' At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lord sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble." That doesn't sound like a pagan to me. It sounds like a man who understood his place in the universe after having an encounter with the God Most High. Now we come to see the contrast of his grandson, Belshazzar, who did nothing to match the exploits of his well-known grandfather. In fact, Belshazzar is only known from the book of Daniel and from the Greek historian Xenophon's book until 1854, when Babylonian inscriptions indicated that he was, in fact, the eldest son of Nabonidus, who was the king of Babylon from 555 to 539, and the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar. So when Nabonidus went into exile in 550, he gave Belshazzar the throne and part of the army to rule in his place during his absence. The history that comes to us from other Greek historians tell us that the parties that Belshazzar had were of epic proportion. As a matter of fact, if you, again, remember the movie Animal House, that was kind of like the way that Belshazzar gave parties. They were extravagant, liquor flowed, and everybody acted a fool. However, the only thing he could claim as his own was the ability to throw a party. In contrast to his grandfather, who had conquered the world and had the entire world in fear of him. So, Belshazzar called one night for the vessels that were used in the temple at Jerusalem to be brought to him for his friends, his lords, his wives, and his concubines to all drink from while they worshiped their gods of gold and silver and bronze and iron and stone and wood. So now that we're up to date, let's find out what happens in Daniel chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, "You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, who the king my father brought from Judah. I have heard that of you, that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not show the interpretation of this manner. But I have heard that you can make the interpretation and solve problems. Now, if you can read the writing on the wall and make it known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." So, in contrast to his grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar had absolutely no respect for Daniel. Not even for the sake of the advice that he had given his most famous of relatives. By calling him Daniel, one of the exiles from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah, he didn't even acknowledge the well-known fact in Babylon that his esteemed grandfather made Daniel to be the chief of the Chaldeans, magicians, counselors, lords, and wise men. It would be like the president having the chief of staff put out to pasture until such time as he needed him again. It was the wisdom of Daniel that had brought wonder to the kingdom. But he didn't have the slightest bit of understanding or wisdom to explain how this affected himself. So Belshazzar said, all right, this handwriting on the wall, I don't understand it. None of my wise men can understand it. Nobody in the kingdom can understand it. I know you've been set out to pasture, but I need you to come here and tell me what's going on. The obvious changes that occurred in his grandfather's life through Daniel and his intercession for Nebuchadnezzar had no effect on Belshazzar's understanding, because everybody in the world had heard that Nebuchadnezzar had been humbled and had acted like a wild animal and had been eating grass and looked a mess. Sometimes God humbles us in ways that we don't understand until we've come through, so that we can be used for the purposes that he wants us to be aware of. The other thing that Belshazzar should have known is that Daniel was not like one of his lackeys. He wasn't a person that was going to give in and fall down before him and be willing to be bribed to tell the king what he wanted to know. You know, some pastors in today's society are like that. They want to hang out with politicians and they want to hang out with government officials, not because they're trying to convert them, but they like being around the seat of power so that they can get their picture taken. They want to elevate their profile. They want to be seen while they are seen. And seeing the president or senators or governors or mayors and elevating their status in the world while not preaching the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. God doesn't want preacher politicians. God wants preachers to preach. So we have a day where, like back in Belshazzar's day, the people that gather around politicians to be yes men or sycophants, which are better known as suck-ups. Now, or how about this? Obsequious flatterers. They are better known as not being genuine individuals. You know, they want to resort to the flattery of a person of influence and fawn over them so that they can be in their good graces, so that they might be elevated to a higher seat of publicity. But you know what? I read somewhere that God humbles the proud, and that the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The kingdom of God is not built on hierarchical principles. In other words, it's not a top-down organization. The kingdom of God is run by the one who was humbled, who was born in a manger, who took upon himself the due punishment for our sin so that we could stand in his righteousness and his righteousness alone. So Belshazzar was certain that Daniel would give good news to him if he were going to get a promotion, or at least the promise of one. He promised that if Daniel would give him the interpretation, he would be the third ruler in Babylon, wear a chain of gold around his neck, and be clothed in a purple robe. Now, y'all remember that purple was the sign of royalty. And not everybody could wear purple. You had to be royalty. So here is how Daniel was so unlike those who say they are believers today. See, most of those who say they are believers, regardless of party, fail to live up to the basic tenets of their faith and will compromise right from wrong if it gets them an elevated seat around those who have power. But see, the Apostle Paul addressed this in Titus chapter 1, verses 9 to 13 and 15 and 16, when he told Titus, person who wants to be a preacher must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain. Wait a minute. You mean there are preachers that are preaching just so that they can get money? Boy, things just don't change, do they? By teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans. Now, just in case you were wondering, a Cretan is a person from Crete, the country. So, a prophet of their own said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. To the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him with their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. So the life of a Christian is to live in the world, but not be worldly. Daniel 5, 17 to 23. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar your father kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, we're talking Nebuchadnezzar now, he killed. And whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up. And whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind and his mind was made like that of a beast and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox and his body was wet with the dew of heaven until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son, Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all this, but you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. As pointed out, Belshazzar tried to give Daniel incentive to tell him what he wanted to hear rather than what actually had been said. But Daniel, like any good preacher, was not impressed by the king nor compromised by the bribe. Unlike those with whom he had surrounded himself, rather than being one who sucked up to the king, Daniel always held his integrity high. Remember this. Character is what you are like when no one is watching. And what you sound like when you think no one is listening. I always told my children when they were growing up, especially in their teen years, it's better to have character than to be one. It's better to have character than to be one. Daniel proceeds to provide a history lesson for the king by recalling his grandfather's achievements and his downfall from his pride, but also the restoration to grandeur after the humbling. He points out that Yahweh had given his grandfather such authority that he was feared by all nations, people, and languages, and that he had power over life and death in his rule. In this way, he was a representative of the Most High God. He was Yahweh's representative on the earth. But pride overwhelmed him and blinded him until the only true God threw him down and humbled him. After his mind had been restored and his senses had returned, he gave praise to God Almighty that many a preacher would be proud to have written himself. And rather than having learned the lesson of his esteemed grandfather, the greatest king in history, who was over the greatest kingdom of history, he instead decided to accomplish nothing more than being known as the ancient party animal. Belshazzar, in using the vessels of the temple in Jerusalem for the pleasure of his lords and ladies and concubines and wives, had taken something that had been sanctified by God and perverted it, poisoned it, used it for things that it had never been used before, while worshiping gods that cannot see, cannot hear, cannot speak, cannot move. And so he was going to get his just deserts. Daniel 5:24-30. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and this writing was inscribed. And this is the writing that was inscribed. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. This is the interpretation of the matter. Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then Belshazzar gave the command, and Daniel was clothed with purple. A chain of gold was put around his neck, and a proclamation was made about him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Pay attention to this. That very night, the Chaldean king was killed. And Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. For years, I've been studying the book of Daniel. And while studying it, this portion always gave me difficulty about the handwriting on the wall, because I knew that it was important because it was in the Bible and the Word of God, and never to be taken lightly, but because it was always in the context of premillennial prophecy books, they didn't go into detail about the writing on the wall and what that actually meant. Fast forward to today, you will know and understand the importance of what the handwriting said and why it's important for you to understand its application for the 21st century. There's some things about the handwriting on the wall that are even more telling when you understand the depth of what the words mean. First of all, each word is a measure of weight that was also a measure of money or exchange in lesser and lesser increments. The first is the mina, which in Aramaic is mene. The next one is a shekel, which in Aramaic was a tekel, to a half shekel, which was peres in Aramaic. Now, when you read these as verbs in Aramaic, it makes this into a series of verbs in that language, which say, numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. Now, knowing what happened, all of a sudden it makes much clearer sense when you grasp what the words mean in actuality. Numbered, numbered, weighed, divided. You realize that these are the statements from Yahweh to Belshazzar as a direct statement of judgment upon him and the judgment that was to come. What the Lord had decided to display to the king and all his lackeys is that the Lord had numbered the days of his kingdom and decided they were going to be brought to an end that very night. Because unlike his grandfather, who had humbled himself before the Lord, Belshazzar had been weighed in the balance and found to be. Now, this is how we put it in today's language. He was a lightweight. Now, think about it, though. Think about it. There are some people who understand the gravity of leadership. But there are other people that, hey, it makes no difference to me. Oh. Because he had not humbled himself, he was a pretender, one who acted like he was of royal blood. Belshazzar decided, well, since he's told me this, I got to give him what I said I was going to give him and go on with the celebration. Now, what you may not understand is that history records the fact that that very night, Belshazzar was killed in a surprise attack because Babylon had such a wide and thick wall. They thought that it was impregnable. There was no way that anybody could get in. However, there was a stream that went underneath the wall that the Medes and the Persians dammed up and came in underneath and executed the king. God has a way of comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. When you think that you're unable to be touched, when you think that your position is such that you can't be hurt by anyone, God will take you down and bend you over and whoop your behind like the childish person that you really are. God will humble those who think that they can't be humbled. Now, understand that the reason why it seems that evil will prevail today is that God has said in Romans chapter 12, vengeance is mine. I will repay. We don't need to worry about getting vengeance on those whose words have hurt us, whose actions have held us back, who have done things that have poisoned our relationships. But understand that God has written it all down. And if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then ain't no help for you. There is nothing that will not be paid for that has been spoken or done or caused pain to others. Think about this. You cannot rightly know God unless you're willing to learn as much as you can about his power, his character, his attributes and authority. And the only way to do that is to read from the revelation that he has provided us as the way for humanity to understand that he has disclosed himself, his divine name, and given us an opportunity to become his children and have the alienation that we have performed and brought on ourselves wiped away by the Son of the Most High God, his only unique Son, while having at the same time the nature and authority of the Father in Jesus Christ, who did not consider his own desires, but humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. In taking on himself the just punishment that we ourselves rightly deserve, Jesus has redeemed us from the curse that leaves the rest of humanity floundering in their self-deception while we are walking in grace. The favor that we have not done anything to purchase, but understand that we are those who don't deserve what we get. Amen. That's the thing about grace. It's not what we do to earn it. It's that we have not done anything to earn it. God graciously bestows it upon us as his righteous gift for our benefit at no cost. We are, in fact, unworthy. But he has given us power and authority and blessed us with righteousness that we ourselves cannot earn. The only way to know that you will live beyond this life in bliss and security is to know that your sin has been wiped away by Jesus Christ. If you do what you want to do and never change your responsibility, you'll be lost for eternity. But you can be as sure of eternal life as if you were already there with a simple request. All you need to do is ask for the forgiveness of sin through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and throw yourself on the mercy that was bestowed at the cross. And God will never refuse one, because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works are evil. As Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve.